This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
We always hear that we're a nation of laws, but it turns out we're only a nation of laws when it suits our federal overlords. You know, they like to pick and choose what laws they're going to enforce.
Fighting for Idaho.
Let me go.
Anonymous sources say Bo Bergdahl's captors are eager to make a deal to release him, but they don't know who in the U.S. government has the authority to make that happen.
Fighting for you.
Those of us that are not being held hostage, those of us that are free to say so, should push the envelope just as far as we can to seek peaceful release and quick release of anybody that's being held hostage.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
That's what it's about, my friends.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, to our friends Patriot Ray and Tom Munns, we're going to let you know we've got Chris Farrell on from Judicial Watch, so give us a call back. Or send me an email or a Facebook, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, Kevin Miller on the Facebook, on whether or not you think it's prudent, wise, and would benefit the listening audience locally and nationally if we go to the Bundy Ranch. If we do it, we'd like to do it Monday. I know that's a quick turnaround, but if anybody can do it, this show can. But we need your support in emails and phone calls, 580-5436. That's coming up. But we're joined by our friend Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch. And I have to say, outstanding work on the DOJ IRS story. Amazing.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I marvel at you guys. I have a small idea of how difficult it is. And I remember reading that story and I go, wait a minute, who found out about it? And it was Judicial Watch.
That is correct. We broke the earlier story about Lois Lerner communicating with the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, also trying to target various groups for purely political reasons, just because they opposed Obama administration policies. And now we see that they were conspiring with DOJ to bring a criminal prosecution against Tea Party or other conservative groups. In their own words, you know, quote, to send a message. So this is the kind of stuff that, this would make Richard Nixon blush. You know what I mean? This is, you know, Nixon only talked about using the IRS against opponents, and they impeached or moved to impeach him. They didn't do it, but they moved in that direction. Here you have an administration that is up to its neck through both DOJ, the FEC, the IRS. And the president gets on his phony Super Bowl interview and says there's not a smidgen of corruption. Baloney.
Chris Farrell, how dangerous a road are we on, number one, with what you all continue to discover, and number two, that there's no outrage, there's no coverage besides what you guys churn?
Well, we're in a tough spot. I mean, we are in very grave danger, and people, you know, should not be rocked to sleep by the usual sort of pablum that comes over the television airwaves. We have a Justice Department that's completely compromised and is at the direction of Eric Holder, who never should have been even appointed, let alone confirmed as Attorney General. He's the same Attorney General who's been held in contempt of Congress and then mouths off during a hearing in a completely inappropriate, childish way. So the Justice Department is completely compromised. You've got one chamber of the Congress that's in an opposition sort of position, and it has absolutely no leadership. Boehner refuses to take action, or strong action at least. He'll go through the motions, but he won't do what's necessary with respect to a select committee with regard to any of these issues, whether it's the IRS or Benghazi or any of these really kind of boiling scandals. So there's no enforcement. There's no legitimate inquiry. There'll be no prosecutions because you've got Holder in charge at the DOJ. We are in very grave danger as a republic.
Chris Farrell with us from Judicial Watch, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Let's get back to this, though. How chilling was it when you got the emails where Lois Lerner is calling the DOJ looking to criminalize people for their criminal beliefs in America? We're talking, you know, Thomas Paine common sense here. We're talking about the founding of our republic.
Yeah, I mean, This is, I want to be super clear so your listeners really glom onto this. They were attempting to criminalize the fact that there were organizations of citizens, you know, who were legally established, doing nothing, you know, illegal, immoral, or fattening, nothing criminal, that simply held views that were not in accordance with the Obama administration. And because they offered a different point of view, a different political philosophy or agenda, they were going to be branded as criminals.
Criminals for their political belief.
Literally a thought crime.
Amazing. Chris Farrell with us here as we continue on. Is this why the IRS did not want to release any more of their emails?
Of course. And here's the difference, too, because people say, how the hell did you guys get these emails? I mean, Congress can't get them. Here's the other important distinction for your listeners. When Congress and the committees of Congress hold their hearings, it's political theater. It's kabuki. Okay? It's Congress goes and says, we're Congress, we have oversight, and the executive department say, well, maybe you do, and we'll see what we can get back to you on. So it's kind of a push-and-shove game. And a lot of times, frankly, the congressmen are just trying to get a, you know, 8-second soundbite in. The way we pursue these matters is by law, not by politics, but by law. So we sue the government. We go into a federal court, and we have the administration appear in front of a federal judge, and the administration gets to explain why it is that they can't produce records in accordance with the law, something they do day in and day out. So when the IRS commissioner tells ISA or somebody else, oh, it'll take years to produce Lois Lerner's email, baloney. It simply isn't true. And we've proven that because what a federal district court judge does is says, look, you got a production schedule. We need X number of documents or at least a percentage or portion in 30 days, the next batch 2 weeks later, the next batch a month after that. And there's a schedule that's established and supervised by a federal judge. And it compels the agency to start producing records, whether they want to or not. And none of these agencies wants to either A, be held in contempt, B, have a negative judgment entered against them, or C, end up paying additional costs and fees because it comes out of their operating budget. And it's very tough to get your annual award, your bonus award, when you've been fined, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees, right? So it's in their own selfish interest to produce these records. That's the difference. Congress negotiates in political theater. We go in front of a court and through legal process force the government to produce these records.
Chris Farrell joining us from Judicial Watch, judicialwatch.org. What do you make of Eric Holder and his response as being our nation's top crime fighter?
Yeah, this is the great irony. So we're a nation of cowards. Remember, that's his first official statement in his first public event as Attorney General. He accused the country of being a nation of cowards with regards to matters touching on race. Of course, this comes, if he's going to play the race card and you know, the sort of the Al Sharpton race hustler kind of language, well, then, I mean, he needs to explain things like the president, like himself, like Colin Powell. I mean, there are many, many African-Americans or blacks or whatever, however anybody wants to characterize themselves, however they wish to self-identify. It's none of my business. But there are many persons of color who have achieved enormous success in this country, and that's a great thing. And so if we're so horrible and bad as a country, if we're a nation of cowards, as he's described it, then explain the success of all these people. Whether you agree with them or not, whether you accept their politics, their philosophy or not, it's a separate question. But these are people who have all become enormously successful, mostly based on merit, because they're smart and they're tough and they know what they want and they go after it. You may not like it, but at least they're competent in that regard, right? So I just don't understand the Attorney General's remarks. I don't understand his attitude and behavior, and it really denigrates the office. It's corrosive to the public's confidence and trust in the government, I think.
Well, I mean, is that where we are? Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, where the laws are being broken, We're criminalizing people for their political beliefs. Let me just say that. Criminalizing people for being members of conservative or Tea Party or libertarian groups, and there is no accountability. Now, number one, I mean, where is the law enforcement?
There's none. I mean, the law enforcement, in the traditional sense of right and wrong, has been abandoned. This is the use of law enforcement to punish your political opponents. That's what this is. This is using the full weight of the government to identify political operatives on the other side of the spectrum and do everything you can to either suppress or punish them. Keep in mind, very often, you're not going to see someone dragged away in chains and thrown in jail. That isn't the purpose. The objective is this. The process is the punishment. They will tie you up in knots with attorneys, with accountants, with court appearances, legal papers, audits, all these sort of the machinery of government will grind you up in its wheels. The process is the punishment. They don't care what the final verdict is. They don't care that they have to do a retraction and say, whoops, we were wrong, or, oh, we really didn't mean it, or, gee, that's unfortunate, or the great use of the passive voice, oh, mistakes were made, right? They don't care about that. They want to grind you up in the wheels of government with attorneys, with the accountants, with lawyers, with time, court appearances, documents. That's the objective. That's how, when you're busy wrapped up in that, you can't do what you want to do. You can't do what you're supposed to be doing, carrying out, you know, your objectives, living your life your way.
Chris Farrell, let's hear from Eric Holder. Well, maybe we won't. That's never happened before. Of course not.
It is important that we have proper oversight. So,
you don't want to go there, okay?
I don't want to go there?
No.
About the contempt?
You should not assume that that is not a big deal to me.
We can't get the information to get to the bottom of that. So I don't need lectures from you about contempt.
And I don't need lectures from you either.
Now, you've been around a while. Is that appropriate for the Attorney General to sit there and you don't want to go there, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, this is barroom talk, right? This is you know, two guys in a bar insulting each other over, I don't know, their favorite team or something, right?
Right.
Who knows? But this is or maybe schoolyard punk kind of talk, right? This is not the demeanor, the actions, the behavior of a, you know, educated, professional, senior government official. This is personal, you know, vendetta kind of stuff. It's crazy.
Chris, please stand by. More coming up with Chris Farrell, Kevin Miller in the morning. We'll take on affirmative action next at 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safe.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. With us now, our great friend, Chris Farrell of Judicial Watch. Talking about a few issues again. Big ups to you guys with that IRS criminalizing political thought, political speech through the DOJ. Chris, I cannot tell you how important that is. Are you surprised that, you know, besides the Washington Times and others and your own means of dissemination, people haven't picked up that story since it goes back to pamphlets and everything else?
It does. This is really a fundamental, you know, Bill of Rights, whole reason for the revolution. You know, the early founding fathers and their philosophy and their desire for free expression. I mean, it's a First Amendment issue. It's so fundamental. I mean, everybody's got the right to their opinion, and we should have a fair, open, honest, even argument, and may the best, you know, side win. And sometimes the country leans one way, and sometimes it swings back the other. But the only way that even happens is if there's some kind of, you know, honest discussion or dialogue or debate, right? And this is the deliberate effort to suppress one side using probably one of the more fearsome government agencies, right? No one likes the IRS because they can essentially do whatever they want. They can literally pull money out of your bank account and seize your assets and everything else. So people are obviously leery of that, and for good reason.
It appears that the government can do anything they want to us, not just the IRS.
You're right. I mean, they can. This is all a this is the slow motion, incremental centralization of power. You know, with this sort of broad deference given to government agencies by the courts. It's an incremental accretion of authority and power. Look, when every government agency, virtually every government agency, has their own armored vehicle, right, and SWAT team of one size or another, who's the enemy? Who exactly is it that is posing such a horrific, terrible threat that the government finds itself in a position where it wants to treat, I was going to say citizens, but I guess maybe we're just subjects now, in that manner? It's mind-boggling.
Chris Farrell, we always appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Great to be on with you. Thank you very much.
All right, our friend Chris Farrell from Judicial Watch. Kevin Miller with you here. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. We are taking your calls about what Chris Farrell talked about. In addition to that, we're thinking about going to Nevada. What do you think? Your thoughts on Clive and Bundy concerning the comments that he's made, and everyone in the conservative media condemning him. To our friend Tom Munns, who's been on hold for over a half an hour, TomMunns.com, Tom Munns Facebook at 580KIDO.
That only means one thing, Kevin. It means that you're getting so popular that, you know, it takes a while to get on. And, you know, I'm okay with that.
Well, God bless you, Tom.
You too, bro. Hey, you know, I think maybe we forgot the first and foremost, well, one of the first bedrocks of America, and that is that we were built on the idea of self-government. And with self-government, we have two choices. And what are they? You can either govern yourself, as in self-government, or you can be governed. If your actions are contrary to self-government, then you have no choice but to be governed. So when statements are made regarding a particular race in America, even though we do have freedom of speech, whether people like it or not, he has the ability to be able to make any statement he wants to, without feeling like he needs to have, you know, without have undergoing this big issue. Racism, we know, is a politically created, media-driven, divisive term that's constantly redefined to be able to target one class over another, and it's always been that way. Jefferson and the Founding Fathers had talked about the danger of a runaway media. You know, after all this time with the media being corrupt, and it, as deceptive as we know it is, brainwashing the minds of the people, we still find ourselves falling into its control. I mean, when are we? Does that mean that we just really haven't awakened yet, Kevin? Do you think?
I think we've all been put to sleep, Tom.
You know, I mean, like what he said. I mean, we're targeted by the IRS, the DOJ, the DHS, the NSA. We've got collective education, collective health care.
By the way, and they're buying a bunch of ammunition too.
Yeah, we've got guns and religion. We're called terrorists. They've got armed vehicles. We've got ammo. We've got MRAP vehicles, and we're under surveillance. What is the logical conclusion here? Is America getting this?
Well, you know, now here, let me hit you with something. Then we're going to go to pro-life, and then we're going to have your fellow great American Senator Fulcher on. But let me hit you with something. Okay, the governor's running for re-election. Everybody knows where the governor stands. People have issues with the governor, but will the governor be reelected? That's up to the people. You have someone running in the primary, you have someone running against them. So if people are fired up and an option is given and they don't take it, then who's the shame on?
Well, it's sad that the ones that are awakened are the ones that are going to be left to the failure and the apathy of people to be able to decide to be educated enough to make change. This man that is running has the chance and the power, if we elect him, to be able to restore Idaho to a better place than it's ever been in its history. His legacy speaks for himself in office. We've got a lineup, a tremendous lineup, an entire executive branch of the state of Idaho,
sure,
to be able to re-empower the people, to be able to put, and they're giving the people back the power. And they're taking back the servitude with graciousness and humility. if Idaho cannot see this, then we need to vote the same way.
Tom Munns, we got to run, but thank you.
Thank you, brother.
All right, very nice, Tom Munns. To Pro-Life at 580KIDO.
Yeah, I think you need to go down to Nevada, and Bundy is not racist, and I cannot believe that the so-called media businessmen, you know, like Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity, are going to fall for that, and it's really pretty terrible. You know, it makes you wonder what else you can't rely on them for. But anyway, we are in a terrible position, and there's very few people that are independent. People are just afraid, and they want to go along with whatever their power group is. And the Republicans really have allowed this administration to go where it's going, and they allowed, the Bush administration. There's no constitutional jurisdiction. There needs to be impeachment. And, you take, like, in the Simpson race, all of his opponent has to do is say, well, do you support Mr. Boehner? Now the people of Idaho know what Boehner's like. But, you know, you don't hear any kind of talk like that. It's just all this mudslinging stuff. And
sure.
It's just we're the most ridiculous society I can believe. I don't know what we need Kevin Miller to go to Nevada and straighten us out, I guess.
God bless you, Pro-Life.
All right.
And we'll have more on the proposed trip. It's up to you whether we go or not. 580KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning. Joined now by the lightning rod, Senator Fulcher joining us now. Wherever he goes, that's where the action is. Senator Fulcher, good morning.
Good morning. It's a nice wet morning in Meridian, Idaho. Kevin, how are you?
Living the dream. You've been out on the road doing a lot of things. Your thoughts on the campaign so far, sir?
Looks good. It looks good. We've got a great network of helpers and volunteers across the state, and I don't know how many thousands of people I've been in front of by now, just one at a time, but the message is consistent and the response is consistent, and we've got a lot of great people in this state. But we also got 3 weeks to go, 3.5 weeks to go, and so we're going to stay on it. But just about to jump in the car for Bonner's Ferry, Idaho. And if you don't know where that is, if you go any further than Earth, you're in Canada.
Senator Fulcher, what is the theme of this campaign? What does it come down to between you and Governor Otter? What are the issues?
It's a vision for Idaho, Kevin. It's a direction that that is the future of our state. And so it really hinges around probably three primary things. The first thing is health care. Of course, I want to do a private alternative to the Obamacare path supported by the governor. It has to do with access to resources, which is 62% of our lands controlled by the federal government, and trying to get access to that so we can prosper and gain some of our independence back. And then education, and that's the control of that whole K-12 struggle. I believe that needs to be handled internally within the state of Idaho and not in D.C. And those things tend to be the big things because economic development is all wrapped into that, and there are other issues, but those are the three big topics.
Well, the local gadfly of political reporting, Mr. Popke, had a big story about you, and of course, just because it's in the paper doesn't mean it's true, hence today 630 KIDO. Instead of 580KIDO, your thoughts on the lack thereof debates? We had Tea Party Bob ask the governor on this program 2 days ago, why more debates? The governor says scheduling.
Well, okay. We've had four, I think it's four, either forums or debates scheduled over the last, it's been about the last 10 days in different parts of the state. And I'm there, and the governor's not. And I just think that that the people of Idaho deserve to hear both sides of the argument. I mean, I've got a compelling side to the argument, I believe, and I want to make that case under all circumstances. But it's difficult when you're there by yourself. And so, I hope that he does engage. I think we're down to potentially one public debate at this point, which is a shame because that precious short period of time will be split amongst four people, myself, the governor, and the two other people who are challenging. And I just think that's too bad. I mean, there's a lot riding on this election. It's going to be close. We know that. And to have it just kind of be constricted towards the public can only see a few minutes of both sides, I think, it's just unfortunate.
Senator Fulcher with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, talking about the gubernatorial campaign. What's the number one issue that you're hearing from voters? Because before you even embarked on this campaign, you went on a listening tour. Have the what they said earlier changed from what you're hearing now on the trail?
No, it hasn't. It's been consistent with healthcare/economy because they're tied together. And, you know, of course, we're right at the tops in the nation per capita minimum wage jobs. And I've heard a lot of those people. And they're concerned about just their economic future. And it's been extremely complicated with the federal affordable care mandates coming out of D.C. and the implications on if they do have an employer, what those ramifications are on the employer and on their job, and going from a regular work week down to under 30 so that their employers don't have to comply with mandates. So it's economy, which is immediately tied to health care, which I tie back to resources, because if we don't get access to the wealth under our feet, then all of this probably becomes a moot point over time, because we starve ourselves economically at a room full of food if you don't have access to your resources. So those issues are the big ones, and education. I don't want to leave that one out. Haven't changed since the listening tour, and when I go to Bonner's Ferry here later today, I would be willing to bet I'll get hit with those things again.
Senator Fulcher, we have a question from the Boise rabble-rouser. Quote, what other states have created the successful patient-focused healthcare system you talk about in your radio ad? Under what criteria do you measure those state success, and what states are your model?
Well, there's not a particular model that I would potentially put it after, but there's a couple of points that I think are worth mentioning. If you look at what Bobby Jindal recently just published, I think it was a 127-page detailed document on an alternative to the Affordable Care Act, there's some pretty good ideas there, and they're very similar to what I've been talking about. So take a look at Louisiana and the recent Jindal publication. Also take a look at Texas and some of the alternatives they have laid out for their people with the same thing. And there's components of those plans in Texas and Louisiana that I like. There's components there that I think that we can make successful in our state that are far superior to the Obamacare Act. And I don't know that I would call them models, but they certainly are things to look at and take into consideration before we move on our state.
Senator Fulcher with us, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. What about the lands issue, and is that really something that the executive has jurisdiction over? We hear so much about the Nevada situation, sir.
Well, here's the thing. There's a couple of legal pathways that are I believe constitutionally rooted that give us the right to go manage the land within our borders, and we're not doing it, and we're not even trying, we're not even filing challenges. I mean, this is something that is really bothersome to me. I hear people say, well, we can't do it. It's sort of, well, how do we know until we try? You know, so much of having a vision is laying it out there. If you have an objective, you've got to go get it. And we are not doing that. Other states are working at that. The state of Hawaii actually has done it. It's been some time back, but they've done it. And Idaho needs to do the same. Utah is out there leading the charge on this multi-state effort to try to get wise, balanced access to their lands. And they're begging Idaho to be more active in this role, and we're not. We need to be. And so, hey, like any other objective, if you want to accomplish something, you know it needs to be done, you got to go do it, and we're not.
What about the economy? We've heard a lot about that from Tea Party Bob, Steve Ackerman, and others that are regulars on this program at 580 KIDO. Bringing more jobs to the state, how big of an issue is that, and your differentiation between you and Governor Otter?
Well, there's a number of things. First of all, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it does tie into the Affordable Care Act. We have to have an alternative to that because employees are scared to death of the ramifications of that insurance. And employees and employers are scared to death of that, and it's impacting our small business right now. So that is that is one thing right there. The second thing has to do with our education system. We have got to be able to focus our efforts and coordinate our efforts to provide the employee base for the type of industry we're trying to nurture. For example, if we want more software jobs in the greater Boise area, then we have got to focus that effort on getting access to software coders. And whatever the number was, Boise State graduated last year, 23, 27, I've heard both. That's not nearly enough to solve that need. So we've got to focus on that. And by the way, there's ways to do that. I can go into detail, but probably not time on the radio, but there's ways we can stimulate that STEM type of education. Lastly, the tax code. We have seven personal income tax code categories in this state. Highest one, 7.4%. A, it's not competitive. B, it's way too complicated. Let's simplify this thing. Let's lower it. And you do that, and you just get out of the people's way, then you're going to have success in growing your economy.
Senator Russ Fulcher, Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO. Let's take a look at not only industry, but the future. A lot of folks here are worried that their kids can't find jobs, so they're leaving the state. How do we reverse the brain drain, if you will? You have children. They adamantly support you. You want to see them have a good life here in Idaho. How do you make that happen?
Well, you make sure that they have those opportunities, and right now we don't. We're relegated to that minimum wage economy, that economy that has everything to do with, well, a lot more to do with a service-based economy and not nearly what it needs to be focused on with other types of manufacturing-based jobs. The base industries within our state have to do with timber, they have to do with mining, they have to do with agriculture, they have to do with dairy. And we've got some dairy that is going reasonably well down in Magic Valley, but our timber, our minerals, and by the way, a brand new one that we're not doing anything with, so we should be, natural gas, energy, we are not developing, we are not growing in those sectors, and that is your base. The timber jobs, the mills, those have for the most part gone away. The mining jobs have been greatly reduced, and that's because of constraints. That's because we have allowed things like the EPA, the Endangered Species Act, to come in and shut these things down. And this is where leadership comes in. This is where, you know what, we take a stand and say, you know what, the endangered species today are not the spotted owl or the slick spot peppergrass or the sage grouse. The endangered species are the people. And it's the responsibility and, I believe, the obligation of our leadership to stand up for our people, stand up for the industries and the job base that we need so desperately, but we have forfeited, and re-engage there. And we're not doing that today. So you got to have your base industries firing on all cylinders. That rotates. That economic impact rotates itself through the economy over and over and over again. That's where those jobs, those good high-paying jobs, come from. And yes, we need to be recruiting in other companies as well. And I'll take a break so I'm not bending your ear here too much.
Now, Senator Fulcher, final thought. We know that you listen to this program. We know the governor listens to this program. What, if any, direct message would you like to send to the governor this morning as he's driving in?
Let's engage. Let's get together in a public forum where people can hear both sides of the story. And let's have that open dialogue where we can be asked questions and respond and let people decide if they like your message and your vision better than mine. And personally, I think that the vision that I have and the direction is more justifiable, and it's more concrete, and it's a better path for the future liberty and freedom of the state of Idaho.
Well, Senator, you and the governor have an open invitation. You can have 3 hours any morning on this show.
Hey, that sounds good to me.
Senator, good luck. Safe travels.
Thanks, Kevin.
Take care. There we have Senator Fulcher on the road, once again asking the governor to engage. We've let both of them know they can come here every morning and have a debate now until the election. That's up to everybody else to figure out, but we, again, have offered our forum here at 580 KIDO. If you're just tuning in, We are asking the big question, is it time to go to Nevada? No, not permanently, but to take a look at what's really happening with the Bundy Ranch and the BLM. 580-5436, let's get you to work safely and on.
The treasure.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Traffic is a big, big issue. 7:59, it is wet, as Larry Gebert just said. Coming up next, we will speak with the Idaho Lightfoot Militia. We will get their thoughts on the state of things and just how much of a need there is for a citizen militia in Idaho, in the West, in America. That's coming up. Plus, if you're just tuning in, we are asking you whether or not it's time to go to Nevada to take the morning show there to find out what's really going on at the Bundy Ranch. Love to hear from you. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com.